I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name is Madison.
And it's your boy, Steve.
Welcome back, guys. It's a holiday version.
It is.
Stuttering because we just received all these wonderful gifts. You can check that on the YouTube channel. All the patrons sent us.
Later this week.
Yeah, it'll be eventually.
This comes out first, but before the unboxing.
Just monitor the YouTube closely is all I'm saying.
Yeah, do it.
And you should check out the YouTube, guys. There's some sweet action there. I know the video version of each pod is on Spotify as well. But I'm just so... just taken aback by the kindness of our supporters that I'm unable to speak right now. I'm also so very excited to discuss Lost episode 12, whatever the case may be, which is what we're doing today. Later this week, Steve's got a hot surprise for you guys. I don't know how hot it is. I don't even know what it is. But it is an episode with, and I haven't even heard it. So it's going to be interesting. But it's all of the patrons' favorite moments from the show from the past year or so clipped together. It's going to be wonderful.
A best of streaming things episode. Ooh. So if you didn't catch all of Yellow Jackets, good news. You can get the best, funniest,
the highlights.
It's like Streaming Things Wrapped.
That's right.
Yes, Streaming Things Wrapped. Yes, exactly.
But it's interesting for me because they picked out the moments, they sent them to you, and you edited the episode. So to Madison and I, it's just a fresh episode. Like, it's going to be fun. Who knows what's going to be on?
We don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, and I got to say, it's all of Steve.
Cut everything of us out.
It's just me talking to
it's
myself.
Just Steve talking.
Good joke, Steve. Thank you. No, this has been a really fun exercise to do a best of episode. It's coming out on Wednesday. Because, you know, like you said, these have been put together by patrons of the show. Mm-hmm. The mods on Discord sort of helped, you know, they made the Excel spreadsheet and they gave that to me with timestamps so I can find everything quickly, which was very helpful. But also as such a fun exercise, because as everyone knows, when these mics go on, my brain turns off. All of because people are like, oh, remember when you
I
said
just breathed into
remember
it.
Remember when you said that thing that one time? It's like, I have no memory of that at all.
No, yeah.
My mouth's just moving.
So I'm gonna like hear these seemingly for the first time.
Yeah.
Like that is funny. There's what a good show.
There's been a couple times where I was like, oh my God, I forgot we went on that.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's fun.
It's gonna be a blast. So that comes out on Wednesday and it'll be a fun way to sort of put a nice little period on the year.
I've always wanted to make like a version of this, but for the entire show as like a, just for fun for me, but like a trailer thing kind of too, you know,
kind of like
a
reel,
but it's like, that is such a daunting, you know, I'm talking all the way back to like Dibs on Skins and God knows what.
And also it's been incredible because this year has been quite transformative for the show because, you know, you look at what the show, because we just started doing cameras a little bit over a year ago.
Yeah, exponential growth.
And so
in every sector.
You look at that stuff that like the Harry Potter clips that we pulled, you and compare that to what we're doing now. it's so incredible just how much we've grown. And then also Madison just kind of pops up in the first quarter of the year. Like, oh, here's this new person who's going to go on to be like the third heat that the show needs.
Oh, well, I've loved being on. So it's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the exponential growth. You're welcome.
It's true. You're part of it. And none of that would have been possible. I hate to just beat a dead horse here. Well, it's dead. It wouldn't say anything. that was less like there's air in its lungs.
Well, just imagine Kate off the side like, it's already dead. Stop hitting him.
But it wouldn't be possible without the patrons. Like all of that growth, especially the studio and the technological aspects is 100% due to the patrons. Because we've used that money to do what you're seeing here. And transform it from Andy's kitchen all the way back to my basement.
Yeah. In the log cabin.
Yeah. And then that relationship ended. And so I had a. So we moved to Andy's kitchen. And then, we're here, baby. Started from the bottom.
And now we're here.
Yeah.
And then Steve putting all of this together, all of being the tech savvy man that you are.
Yeah.
So helpful. Stop. Killing it with your. 100 monitors over
I would
here.
Say currently I'm not killing it. I am maiming it, however.
It's true.
It's
not going to last long.
No one, I don't think we've talked about it on air, but like the new computer thing hasn't been a 100% success yet.
It's just a bunch of darkened monitors behind our old computer.
Yeah, so like our cameras don't work with the new computer for some unknown reason. And so when we record into the old computer and then I move everything into the new one to edit there because it edits like a dream.
Yeah.
But we're going to be stuck in this sort of limbo until I can get Andy or another computer savvy person to come in and help me with it.
It's
okay.
Are we
going to be lost?
Yeah.
I think so.
I thought you were going to hit a sound. You clicked your board and we were all ready. Okay, that's what we were waiting
on. I clicked over to it and then it was like, the moment's passed. I won't do it.
If you've never listened to the show before and you've waited this long to find out what the fuck it is, congratulations. We're watching Lost. Madison and I, for the first time, Steve has seen it before. We're on episode 12. We're doing one a week for right now, which is how it originally aired. However, we're going to speed things up in some kind of fashion soon-ish. Yeah, we have the question mark plans for 2024. Rate and review the show wherever you're listening. That helps a lot. You can subscribe to the show via Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings. Get extra bonus episodes. Later this week, we're watching Gremlins is what won the holiday poll.
Yes.
Patrons can vote on polls. So that's going to drop on Patreon only.
Gremlins.
Later this week. Hand?
Yeah.
And then next week, I believe, is Lost episode 13 and The Other Sister, a patron chosen film, if I'm not wrong.
By an other sister.
That's correct. It goes deep. The rabbit hole goes deep on that one. We're going to do our overall thoughts on this episode, followed by a scene-by-scene, play-by-play recap and reaction, and then some fun little categories to wrap things up. We've got Beach Please,
where Beach, Please.
Steve talks about some behind-the-scenes trivia and tidbits from the episode, our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode, our Passenger Princess nomination, our favorite performance of the episode, and followed by Lost and Found, where we're keeping track of all the mysteries as they unfold, which ones have been answered, and which ones are lost. That's right, baby. So now... Without further ado, no more gilding the lily. Madison, what did you think of Lost episode 12, whatever the case may be?
I really enjoyed it. I liked the title, how it's a play on the episode.
Love
whatever
a good pun.
Whatever the case
get
may
it,
be.
Case. Get it,
just delighted by puns.
I did enjoy this kind of like, ooh, what's in another version of what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Yes.
I appreciate you pausing for effect.
You're welcome. It was a good episode. I definitely think I'm honestly still kind of hung up on the previous episode where they were working towards that momentum with Claire and wanting to kind of go into the hatch. I'm kind of more focused on that than I was interested in the things happening in this episode, just because that's kind of like a bigger plot. But I understand that they need to have this to fill in some gaps. But overall, I thought it was a good episode.
All right.
Steve.
Well, I'm just going to come out and say it. This is my least favorite episode so far of the season. I'm not a huge fan of this episode. The reason being is because, like what kind of Madison said, they introduced the hatch element. And so it's kind of like, oh, I can't wait to get into that and figure out what this hatch is. But then we do this sort of side story thing with Kate, which does expand upon her backstory a little bit more, but like the flashback thing was just kind of like, I knew it was happening the moment it started. The twist of that whole storyline was not really, you know, surprising. And then we see a lot of the whole, you know, the thing we talked about, how much we hate, like, Sawyer just always being like, I ain't giving you the case. We go back into that. Now, in this episode, it makes more sense because it's not him necessarily being an asshole. It's just him, like, genuinely wanting to know more about Kate. And this is his way of trying to figure that out. But it still leads to the same, like, okay, how many more times do I need to see Jack walk up, or any character, really, walk up to Sawyer and say, hey, you're going to give me thing. And he goes, oh, am I? And they're like, yeah, you know why? Because I want it. And he goes, like, I don't think so. Insert catchphrase. And it's just kind of this, like, I want them to just get out of this phase. And so it seemed like a big retread, a big step backwards for the momentum that the show was carrying. Mm-hmm. And then also the Shannon and Saeed subplot was, like, kind of fun, but also, like, I'm just not super into Shannon as a character. So, like, it just wasn't my favorite episode. I don't think it's terrible, but it's a lot of, like, I think of all the episodes we've seen so far, this is the one I would point to first and say, this is a victim of the time that TV was in at the moment where we have to have 25 episodes. And this was one of the 25 padded episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Not my favorite. Kit?
I've got a completely different viewpoint, I think. I really enjoyed this episode. Mm. Not my favorite.
It was that opening scene. In the waterfall,
Madison. I am offended that you would think so low of me, but also yes.
What can I say?
I was going to refrain from harping too much about that.
Hey, man,
out of respect,
don't go chasing waterfalls.
Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. Is what I would tell Sawyer.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, but I also I take it differently, Steve. Like, you're 100% correct, but none of it offended me. I think this is one of the benefits of old timey TV. And by old timey, I mean, you know, 15 years
ago.
The
talking pictures on the TV box, eh?
On the tube.
Yes.
Now in color.
I wouldn't call this a filler episode. I just think it's a benefit of the medium where you get to just take some time and breathe and explore different things. Yes. None of us care about Shannon as a character because they haven't given her any time. Right. And so this is their effort to do that. And also, yes, it's a little bit of a regression in the character of Sawyer, but I think you're correct in kind of alluding to the fact that it's for a purpose for Kate's character, right? Where they're trying to push her to stop being a little liar pants on fire, you know, and she knew her pants were on fire. Liar so she took them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why she took them off.
She needs to put her drapes on.
Yeah, she does. And so also all the flaws in this episode were, like, so funny to me, and they're so fun for that reason. So none of it bothers me. I think it's necessary. Again, this is just something maybe that's for me, but I like that it got a little sexy. You know, I like that they are potentially building up some.
Oh, sir, you misunderstood me. I never said I didn't like that it got a little sexy.
A little steamy.
The Ooh. Sexual tension between Saeed and Shannon, I did not expect. And right? I thought you'd be way more into that as a Saeed fan.
He deserves better.
And I could be wrong. You know where it's going.
Is that a tell?
Sometimes you just need some ass, man.
That's true.
not saying to objectify, but.
When the pickings are slim, I think, you know.
I think you're actually touching on something that I'm just now realizing about myself, and it's that you're just jealous of Shannon.
Like, he's too good for her.
That's your hands off, stupid, sexy Saeed.
You're going to come up as a French orc and try to seduce him with your French.
I also tan without my top on.
I appreciated the diversion into a little sexual tension, little love triangles, even
the sexual tension between Charlie and Rose.
There's a third. I was going to make that joke. You stole my thunder. I was going to say there's a third character.
We're too similar.
You're probably not thinking of here.
I believe my husband's coming back. Charlie's like,
and
I'm your new husband.
In a way, I think we got back to the roots of the show a little bit. You're saying it's a digression. I think it's back to the beginning a little bit. We get a lot of mention of fuselage again.
Yeah.
And we start, thankfully, acknowledging the fucking jungle monster again. You know, I was bitching last week. I'm like, where did that go? It's finally being brought up. I think the writers were like, oh, yeah, we had him gallivanting around the jungle fearlessly. Let's talk about the monster a few times. I really enjoyed it. And it's Kate heavy, huge fan of Evangeline Lilly, obviously. So I had a good time. I don't know where it would rank as far as the episodes for me, but I really enjoyed it. And I think if I was binging it again, not to be a whiner again, but if I was just watching four episodes last night, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. I would have fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree. I kind of agree with both of you a little bit. I'm indifferent. There were some things about this episode that like kind of made me mad, but that's mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah.
But
agreed. Yeah. I got something I noticed.
Something that made you mad?
No, it didn't make me mad. It was just something I noticed that probably nobody else did.
Oh,
yeah. I'm curious.
We'll get there.
Okay.
It's a little weird.
All right, Freckles.
Freckles.
All right. Glitter Freckles.
Yeah, I am glittery. By the way, I want to call attention to the Kristen Stewart shirt that I'm wearing. It was
a gift from
Erica, patron saint of streaming things, it says on there. So excited. Hope you guys love it.
Are you going to wear that to Sundance when you meet Case too?
I haven't talked about it on air. I'm going to the Sundance Film Festival for the first time in my life. It's a huge, huge bucket list affair. They gave me a press badge. They're flying me out there. It's super exciting. And everybody in the Discord knows that, like, they saw my excitement unfold slowly. I'm like, oh my God. There's a Kristen Stewart movie there, Love Lies Bleeding. The trailer just came out. She very likely will be at Sundance. What do I do, right? And then I was like, oh my God, guys, there's two Kristen Stewart movies there. Also Love Me with her and Steven Yeun. Holy shit, like there's almost guaranteed that she's gonna be there. And then I found out on the opening night, she's receiving an honorary award. She will fucking 100% be there, guys. What do I do? Right?
You wear that shirt.
And since I'm press, it's not likely, but it's not impossible that they might say, hey, do you want to cover this event? Do you want to interview her? Or, you know, or any, there's so many people that are going to be. Christopher Nolan's getting an award that night. Woody Harrelson will be there. Obviously, Steven Yeun will likely be there.
All three of those guys can fuck off.
Comparatively, yes. So what am I? I don't know. I'm going to panic.
Just make sure you wear that shirt and make her very comfortable.
Because that'll not make it weird at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Where the hell you been, Loca?
Yeah, that's all. I'm just going to ask her where the hell she's been, Loca, for sure. And you might, some like occasional listeners might not even know what a fan of Kristen Stewart I am, but it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing for sure.
So anyway, I'm very hyped for that. That's January, like mid-January.
For those people who like sign up onto our Patreon and don't understand why the top tier is called the Case 2 Patron Saints of Streaming Things.
Hey.
That's the reason.
I love it.
So my guaranteed favorite movie of 2023 is Love Lies Bleeding. Before I see it, I'm calling it.
It looks great.
It does look great. Yeah. Rose Glass directed it, who did Saint Maud, interesting kind of slow burn horror from a couple of years ago about a nun. That's none of your business.
I just love how Ed Harris looks like the Crypt Keeper.
He does. He does. But let's dive in. We've given our overall thoughts. It opens up with Kate shimmying up a goddamn tree, getting the fruities. I guess they're apples. Do apples grow in jungles? I don't know where apples grow.
I thought it was more like a papaya or a pear.
It didn't look like
something
a papaya
a
to
more
me.
Tropical fruit?
I don't even, is pear a tropical fruit? I know like coconuts are.
Yeah.
Pineapples are.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about fruit.
Pineapples are in the ground, though.
But they just look like little Granny Smith or something. Or maybe like a, what's the one? Not Honeycrisp, but it's like a
Golden
like,
Delicious?
Yes. It looked like kind of a Golden Delicious.
Okay. Something I noticed, and I think I'm like tuning into like what I was doing with Yellow Jackets is like being very focused on like continuity and like terms of their environment and what they're in. So they've been on the beach for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, something like that, Steve?
It's at least three, I think.
At least three. Kate has no armpit hair.
She's shaving. They have all their luggage.
But, like, you're worried about that? She should have something.
This is early aughts, right? People were very misogynistic about female hair.
But I saw her shimmying down that tree, and I got a glimpse of her armpit, and I'm like...
Lucky you.
I'm like, Kate, come on. Lucky you.
So this is, we'll just say it since you called attention to
it,
right?
Okay, so according to Lossopedia, the day where where Sawyer and Kate are swimming in the waterfall,
sure,
that is day 21.
Canon event.
So 3 weeks.
Canon event,
yeah.
One thing I noticed, I couldn't help it, this is the early aughts, right, with low-cut, low-rise jeans were all the rage, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, she goes swimming with Sawyer, okay? She very boldly, no big deal, just swims in her panties, right? Whatever. Later... which is presumably a couple days later, low-rise jeans. She's wrestling with Sawyer and stuff. She's wearing the same panties, guys. We got to have some hygiene on this island.
You heard it here third.
I'm just, come on, Kate. I know somebody's got it. Maybe Shannon's got some in the luggage. I don't know. You don't want
to
share.
You can't blame them for having to like wear a
doubling up
and taking a.
Maybe she went inside out, then backward.
That doesn't bother me as much as like, bitch, I know you're not shaving.
Yeah. Why are you taking the time to conform to the patriarchy when you're in this situation? I'm with you. I get it.
It'd be really funny if like Shannon just had like really hairy legs, like she's you know.
No,
like,
I think that would be so accurate.
Some people, like my wife, doesn't like she can go a long time and it doesn't like even get that. She has like very blonde, very fine hairs on her legs. Maybe it's that's the situation.
Well, sometimes if you wax your legs enough, it just comes in like super fine, very non prickly like leg hairs. Yeah. But anyway, that was just something I noticed, and I was like, interesting.
Yeah. So it says something about
that's
the character.
Interesting.
It's like, hey, well, she's got, you know, Sawyer and Jack going on.
I guess
there thinking about that a lot. Like,
I guess.
I'm going to the beach
tonight. I hope she's maintaining everywhere. If that's the case. Or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, you know, do what you do.
Yeah. Love is love. So Kate's up in the goddamn tree. My note says, don't say that was hot.
I always love it when you tell on yourself.
Right.
A branch snaps behind her. She starts to feel the presence of something in the forest, and she just turns around and pegs Sawyer with a fucking rock.
I love that she just throws the rock into the bush and just hear, ow!
Right.
My knee!
Like the accuracy of that throw.
Well, I love what they're doing with this character. It's so campy, but I love it. It's like all of a sudden, Kate's a bad motherfucker, right? Like she's got the tracking skills from her dad. We saw... She pulls a Jason Bourne in the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and when she dings Sawyer with that rock, it's like she's got the accuracy of Tony the sniper would be amazed, right?
I've never seen anything like it. Honestly, it makes me a little scared.
Yeah, Sniper Tony would have never hit Sawyer with that rock.
She hit him from probably 12 feet away. I couldn't make that shot in my best day.
She was definitely a softball girly.
Definitely could not. They're going to cut through this town like a hot knife through butter. That's one of my, I hope that's on the list.
It is.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. So then he comes out like, what the hell? My knee. I'll tell you if my knee hurts. It's my knee. And she's like, I can take care of myself. Right. Which is very true. But Sawyer's like,
what are you going to protect me from? Southern perverts?
Because that's you.
Got him.
Get it, Sawyer. And then they
shit it on him.
Then she hears something else and they find a waterfall. Sawyer wants to go for a swim. They have a fun little date night. He calls her a navel gazing, no fun mopey type, which motivates her to jump in the water with him.
And I love that he goes in with full jeans. I don't know why that bothered me
that
so
bothered
much.
Me,
so much.
That bothered me so much. And then when they got out of the water and Kate put her jeans on immediately,
you can't
soaking
put pants
wet.
On wet legs. Thank you.
Yeah.
PTSD.
It was like, I was like cringing watching the TV.
Yeah. Kate, Donald Duck, and it makes sense. But like Sawyer does not like. That was so messed up. But I did appreciate when he like takes off his shirt. Because I assume he's like, hey, I know I'm a kind of a creep, but deep down I'm a little bit of a gentleman. So I don't want to go like full, like taking off my pants in front of this girl. Yeah. I don't want to make her that uncomfortable yet.
He's like, what if I pop a boner?
So, exactly. Like I ain't going to hear the end of this.
I have something to tuck it into my waistband.
So he starts going into the lake with his pants on. And then he turns around and sees Kate pulling off her pants. And he just has this like really gentle, oh, okay.
Noise.
I didn't know it was this kind of party.
All right. Gosh. And then they have what I can only describe as an underwater tickle fight.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not what you do. Right.
Says you.
Like if I
let's go to the YMCA.
If I was having like a flirty, you know, half skinny dip with a lady that I was crushing on, I'm not going to swim up and tickle.
Tickling is not the way to romance anybody.
Are you going
to
dunk her?
I'm not going to do that either.
He dunks her at one point.
I'm not doing any of what he does.
You do a little splashy splash.
Yeah, maybe a little splash.
A little splashy splash.
Yeah.
Get away.
That's all you
get
do.
Away. But you don't just like dunk him in the water.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this tickle fight, they see dead bodies.
So jarring.
Dead bodies.
Decomposing down there. And it looks like they're strapped to like airplane seats, right? Yeah, so they're passengers of the vessel from the fuselage, we could say.
So they probably, when the plane split up, they probably got sucked out and they just landed in that lake.
Yeah. It's Rose's husband down there with Bernard
and friend.
And then Sawyer wants to loot the bodies, gets guy's wallet for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
money's useless. He just can't help himself.
I wrote Sawyer stays on brand.
Yeah. see what they got. He comes back up like peanuts.
But I thought it was incredible that like they go down there. And his first reaction is, I'm going to take the guy's wallet and not the suitcase. Because the suitcase is like big, shiny. Kate sees it immediately.
Yeah.
I would have figured Sawyer would have been like, oh, yeah, the good stuff is in there.
I know this scene doesn't play the way that they wanted it to, because I had no, when she said it's mine, I didn't think she meant it was literally hers prior to the crash. They wanted you to get the idea that she, maybe you guys did, but I didn't get the idea that like she recognized it and it was really important to her. I was very slow to pick all that up. They had to call attention to it with Sawyer being like, this isn't yours, is it? I was like, oh, she meant literally mine. Okay.
I picked up on it that she wanted it. Like it was important to her in some way.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like because it was in association with the marshal, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That was technically his case.
Yeah. I almost feel like a callback to like that sequence of them getting on the plane or like maybe during checkout. Or not checkout, them going through
checkout
at Target when he bought the suitcase. That's a Halliburton.
Did you find everything you were looking for today on the plane?
When they were going through
baggage claim.
Yeah, you know, something like that. Like that would have been like a nice like hint, like, oh yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Just to give the audience a clue. Cause I was kind of in the same boat you were. I was like, oh, is that hers? Or like, where did that actually come from?
And can I just say the reveal after all of this of what's in the case? Very anticlimactic.
Right.
It's just like an airplane Christmas tree ornament or something.
Yeah.
We had no, that I can recall, relation to this object prior to this or anything. Like, oh,
correct.
It's just like a what?
Yeah. It's like, what is that?
And but what makes it so funny to me is like ostensibly she was so ashamed, right? I get why, like the emotional beat of it works, but like the idea that anyone, like if she had let Sawyer open that with her, would he have thought anything about the airplane in the envelope?
No, he would have been like,
no!
Woo, money, woo, gun.
Exactly.
Oh, weird envelope with a plane in it? Don't give a shit.
It doesn't. So, yeah. Like, the whole thing about, like, oh, God, I can't let them open this just was so, like, what?
Everyone's going to know I love planes.
I can't open this with them because when I see plane, I freak out and say I murder. Like, I can't help it. So I have to do this alone.
That's why I kept screaming it on the flight before we crashed.
Yeah.
Ah. I murder.
Because it was a plane. So I just found that interesting.
So you think planes?
You think it's a plane? And I also, I know this is for way later, but I just got to get it out of my system now. What was the flight number that you said was going to keep coming back up?
815.
Okay, so the toy plane, I think, didn't say 815. I think it said 5035.
The security box that it was in.
Oh.
Yeah, the lock box was 815.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I knew something like that was going to happen. I just couldn't place it. None of it was registering. So anyway, that's what happens. What's up with the suitcase, Freckles? It starts that whole shtick for the episode, right? Whatever the case may be. We cut back to everybody. On the beach, everything's getting pushed out to sea. Something weird's happening with the tide. It's supernatural almost how much everything's getting pushed out to the ocean. So
big waves.
Everybody in the ocean has to move up. The whole fuselage is going to be underwater soon.
The overuse of fuselage. Like the writers are like, we have to.
We haven't said fuselage since episode 7. We have to say
fuselage at least five more times.
I love it.
The goal of this season is just to teach everyone what a fuselage is.
I learned.
Yeah.
And then they mention the monster again, which is nice for me. Jack wants Saeed to take him back to the French woman. He's like, what about the maps, man?
Show me the French woman.
And Saeed's like, nah, I mean, dude, she was crazy. I'm telling you, ain't shit going on with those maps.
Yeah, she wrote French. Weird.
I'm good with math, but there's French with the math. And so I don't know what to do. Right. And he's like, if I could translate it, maybe. Right. By the way, Charlie's over there. He's sad boy.
He's big sad.
Charlie's just staring at the ocean.
His emo hair is like covering up one eye.
It cuts to him and he just whispered, I don't know if you guys heard this, but he was like, we not all everybody anymore. Yeah. And then Walt ran out of the woods and said, Claire, fall down. And then was like, shut up, dude.
Not the time.
Yeah. So we cut to Boone giving Shannon shit for being lazy and useless. At least I'm doing something secretive with Locke. Locke and Boone have been rolling out secretly
for 4 days in the jungle.
Are they fucking?
I mean,
I hope they are.
Shannon implied it. So. Your new boyfriend.
I hope so. Because I would love that for Locke. A man his age. Boone is hooking up with Ian Somerhalder.
Boone's definitely bottom.
Absolutely. Can we say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even remotely switched.
He's like, check out my hatch, Mr. Locke.
They're looking for Claire.
Let's go play hunting for boar. Ooh, I'm a boar. Come get me. I'm just a little piggy. Oh my God.
You're making it so weird. Can't just have two bros fucking without making it weird.
Some people like piggy play.
That's true. But Boone's like, I'm trying to fit in. We're a joke. You're useless, right?
Fit in.
Hurts her.
Nice.
And then
you're useless, Shannon.
And we cut to like Kate poking the fire, and Sawyer's still just like carrying the case around, which presumably it's hours later. Something. And he's just like, still got the suitcase. Just saying.
I like to imagine that we didn't see the scene before that where Sawyer was just like walking around and saw Kate. I get the campfire. Like, oh,
I went.
Oh shit! Where's my? Oh, hold on.
I gotta go get the case.
And he like gets. He grabs it. He's like, okay. And he like, cool, he did walks like, across oh her my vision. God.
He did like 20 push-ups. And then he looks back first.
And he's like, fuck yeah, she saw.
I hope that's she canon. Saw. I hope that's real.
Oh. He did push-ups first for sure.
Freckles oh definitely God. Saw.
And we cut back to the past, and it's Kate
back in time
playing a character named Maggie Ryan. Miss Ryan getting a loan in New Mexico, saying that she's a photographer. She's kind of flirty with the bank manager. And then robbers come in. Uh-oh.
This is a robbery.
Oh, no.
This is the Karen of robbers, because the robber just immediately comes in. I need to speak to the manager. Excuse being me, sir, real, are you the manager?
Being a real Karen.
Yeah. I don't want to wear my mask. No, I'm kidding.
Yelp stars are on the line. Give me the money. Back in the present, Sawyer is sleeping with the case now, between his legs, no less. And Kate's
it
like,
helps with his lumbar support when he sleeps.
Yeah, oh my who does God. That? Like, that was not going to fool anybody.
He's sometimes so you put a, nerdy.
But like Kate, too, like, why would she want to like act like she doesn't care about it and then sneak in and steal it? Like, is he going to wake up and not know it's missing? Yeah. Like, and we find out later that she knows where the key is. She hasn't even gotten the key yet. Like, yeah. What's the plan here?
Wasn't there a point when they were at the waterfall and she's like, I got the suitcase. And he's like, does this mean something to you? She could have just said,
yes.
Yeah, I want that case. And exactly. He probably would have let her have it. But instead he's like, oh, well, if you don't like it, I'll take it. And she's like, I don't care. Yeah, take it. I don't care. I'm Kate. I'm coy.
That's why I pushed back about your criticism of the regression of Sawyer, care. Because Kate made it a thing. And like,
oh, sure.
To make Sawyer be the way that he's being. Yeah. You know?
No, like it is a different reason. I just like I could go, you know, the rest of your my life not mm-hmm. seeing anybody walk up to Sawyer like, I want thing. Give me thing. And yeah. He goes, I don't think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You think I'm
supposed except to Hurley.
Give it to you?
Yeah, unless it's Hurley and Hurley just lays it down on him every time because, mm-hmm. you know.
How can they should have sent no Hurley. Hurley.
You can't.
Yeah.
He's Hurley's harmless.
He's the best.
Which there's a fun Hurley moment coming up in a second. I bet.
Yeah, it's a trap. He knew she would come get the case from his legs, and he does a weird like, hey, you want a hug? Like,
oh, he wraps her up.
Yeah,
she'd be headbutting the shit out of him.
Oh,
he's what I can only describe as power bottoming Kate in this scenario, and then she headbutts him. Yep, and he still won't give it up. He's like,
dang girl, if you wanted to play rough, you just needed to ask.
I love headbutting.
Ew.
Heads to butts is my favorite thing. I'm saying I eat ass, Kate.
Oh, I misunderstood what we were doing here.
Not a great idea on the island, but
a little bit of sandy cheeks.
I'm taking antibiotics. Mm.
You can still taste the dead people lake water.
Ooh.
And then probably the second funniest, unintentionally funny thing in this episode, Shannon is tanning, which is true to her character that she'd be doing that in this scenario.
Yeah, her job is beach.
And of course, she's topless tanning because you don't want tan lines when you're literally going to die on an island.
No.
And Saeed comes limping up hungrily as soon as she takes her top off. And I fucking lost it. Like the way that they framed that, like as soon as she unhooks the top, he's like, like Igor coming up like,
pretty lady.
I love boobs.
Pretty lady.
You mean a lotion in your back?
Nadia who?
And he's got this sweet pickup line about how close they are to the equator. You know, if infrastructure doesn't work, you can always count on like, latitude and longitude.
Yeah. Well, it's just slightly adjacent to astrology. So maybe he's Mercury is in retrograde.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice pool.
Madison lit up.
I did. Oh. Okay.
So Saeed says he needs a favor and wants her help translating French.
She knows French.
I didn't like her pushback. No. Like, you're doing literally fucking nothing else. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like flabbergasted. Like, it is the only thing anyone could ask of you.
But also her point being that she really doesn't know a lot. She just knows that guy.
Yeah, she's got maybe a little fear of failure in there.
But I understand she could have at least.
She fucked a French dude for months, Madison. She can do this.
That doesn't mean that they understood each other.
That's true.
And as someone who is not a connoisseur of luggage, the next scene did not work for me. Sawyer's trying to get into this case. Michael walks by and he's just like,
you're wasting your time.
Hurley, he's trying to pick the lock on a Halliburton. And then Hurley, who I wanted to be like, what is that? Said, ha, what a loser. And I don't know what a Halliburton is. What is a Halliburton? Did either of you have any context for this?
I just interpret it as a very like high profile like lock system or something.
I know Swiss Gear and I know Samsonite, but that's only because of Dumb and Dumber.
Isn't Halliburton the like company that like Dick Cheney was involved in that like made the airplanes for the government?
You would know that.
Halliburton is an American multinational corporation and the world's second largest oil service company.
What the fuck does that have to do with a suitcase?
Responsible.
Zero Halliburton luggage.
There you go.
Aluminum carry-on designed for fearlessness and purpose.
Damn. Yeah. Mm. Zero Halliburton luggage. How much does it cost? It's a hard shell.
I'm going to guess. Oh.
Oh, they're expensive.
They're big expensive.
Oh,
damn. $1,000 for the big boy.
A large travel case is $500.
Dang.
Should I get one? It'd be super secure.
Yeah.
I just want to carry one so people think I have something cool.
International carry-on. Is $1,000 just the carry-on?
Mm.
Ugh, what's it like to have money?
Rooted in the legacy of the Classic Aluminum series, first introduced in 1946, the Classic Aluminum 3.0 International Carry-On revitalizes the traditional double rib design.
Mm. Double for her pleasure?
Yes, manifesting the enduring beauty of aluminum luggage. This modernized version with its reimagined caster and handle designs artfully combines tradition with innovation.
And Sawyer would definitely not be able to break in. That's a weird thing to advertise.
If you drop this shit from a tree,
nothing will happen.
A, we'll call you an idiot, and B, the suitcase will remain intact.
It's also clearly waterproof.
Yeah.
When she finally opens it, and it's just like this pristine money and stuff, I was like, okay.
Right.
Okay. Hey,
that's the Halliburton promise.
Yeah. All right. But Michael's like, look, man, you got to use centrifugal force or whatever the fuck he says.
Oh, this made me laugh so hard because he's like, oh, you know, they're laughing. I'm like, oh, you're never going to break into that by picking a lock. You're going to need impact velocity if you're going to get into that thing.
Just say hit it.
And Sawyer is just like, impact velocity. Those are two big words. What's that? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Like hit it.
Smash it
with the axe, which was just a clever way to cut to Boone with the axe. And Locke's like being a dick because he's not nice to his bottom boy. You know what I mean? Like
maybe he's into it.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I know they're fucking. Hey, the way that he's talking to Boone all nasty for no reason.
There's a pecking order. Okay. That's right. The top. And maybe
pegging. Do you know they didn't see you or do you think they didn't see you? Like, motherfucker, it's semantics. Like, he cannot say for sure that no one saw him. That would be scientifically inaccurate to say that he knows without a doubt. Why are you being a dick?
Boone, you're being real useless right now. And then Boone takes all that energy back to Shannon.
By the way, Boone has the axe that Sawyer needed to break the lock on the suitcase. And he takes it to Locke.
The
C's dots are a connecting.
And then Charlie's sitting there. And the lady that lost her husband in like the first episode, it's Rose. She walks up like, why are you being a little bitch?
I forgot her name. Yeah. I'm glad it's Rose.
Yeah, Steve knew.
Hey, you want to actually like do something instead of being a sad boy?
Yeah, everybody's got people that may or may not never be found again on this island. It doesn't mean you can be lazy and a little bitch about it.
Did the pregnant lady you met 3 weeks ago get disappeared into the jungle? Oh, that's nice. My husband's gone.
Where's Rose when we need to get Shannon to do something?
That's right. Why are they even trying to move that like plane wing? Like we don't need that rose. Charlie's like, I'm not lazy. We just don't fucking need piece of metal.
That can go into the sea. The sea can claim it. We don't need that. I think there was
my husband's favorite piece. There was a fuselage.
There was a joke that got removed from the final episode where she joked like, this is going to be part of my granite countertop at the new base or something like that. Where it's, she called attention to this ridiculous big thing that she's carrying.
That's a real thing you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I guess they cut that joke out of
it. Because it makes no sense that she wants that hunk of metal.
Yeah.
Okay. No. That actually makes me feel better. She's just trying to snap him out of it. We cut to Sawyer slamming the case on a rock over and over. He's trying really hard. By the way, it's really sad when we find out that it's a puppy in there.
he just like looks like a caveman. Like just
bang. It's like Zoolander when they're trying to get the files out of the computer.
He can't focus his mind on anything else except opening this case.
He's so fascinated by what's got Kate all hot and bothered.
Yeah.
On an island of mystery, the only riddle he wants to solve is Kate.
By the way, throwing the case from 30 feet up is not more force than slamming it on a rock as hard as you can. No. I just want to throw that to everybody, and we all agree, right?
Yes.
I agree.
That was never going to work.
He looked like an idiot.
But when he does that, Kate has been like watching the whole time, and she runs up like,
gotcha.
He's like, don't you do it. And so she runs up and grabs it, runs off. He catches up, tackles her.
Somehow he catches up to her from another direction.
Yeah.
He cut her off. He's like, I've been creeping around these woods watching you climb trees so long that I've got all kinds of trails.
You ain't going to out-creep the creep.
That's right. You cannot.
I've only been sitting on the beach reading Watershed Down literally every moment of this series. But sure, yeah, he knows all the trails as well as Locke does.
You know how long ago I found that waterfall and had to manipulate you into discovering it to swim with me without your pants on? So long.
So long. I found it day one.
I didn't tell anybody.
Best laid plans, baby. He is a hustler. That's his whole thing. We know that he's a con man, right?
Don't hustle a hustler.
He's a confidence man. So he catches her, tackles her, and just says, hey, look, if you just tell me what's in it, I'll give it to you. Which is, to Steve's point from earlier, like this shows the growth of Sawyer. Like, I don't actually fucking want this. Yeah. Right. I think you're super hot. I'm really into you.
I just want to satisfy my curiosity,
she could have just lied.
Yeah, I get it. I get like, I don't really need to see it. I just need to know.
She said, she could have said, it's a puppy. I hope you've been gentle with it. And he'd be like, oh, here you go.
Here's the case back.
Well, especially in this part of the story, no one knows her origin aside from Jack. So it's correct. Like she could have made some shit up or could have just been like, it was, I don't know. She could have literally made anything up and I'm sure he would have given it to her.
What was the thing that her and Claire early on in the season were like, we can't find any like...
Hairbrushes.
That's what it was. She could have been like, this is the hairbrushes case. This is where all my hairbrushes were.
That's right.
We need the hairbrushes. And he would be like, oh man, lady parts.
Oh my.
She could be like, my tampons are in there. Like, oh, say no word. Here's the case.
Literally.
I don't want it anymore.
Cardboard applicator or plastic? What if he's like an expert? Oh, gotta be plastic, right?
Right.
Ain't worth throwing cardboard.
Heavy flow.
I think if Kate made an elaborate effort to try. I mean, she's been lying this whole time. I don't understand why it's so difficult for her to like lie about what's in the briefcase.
Well, I don't think she wants to lie. I just think she's so filled with, like, I kind of buy it from a character perspective that she's just panicking, but some of it's just not working, right? Like, I don't think if she was a villain who just wanted to successfully hide this fact, it'd be so easy to have not grabbed the case, right? You know, or whatever. Like, it would have been a different episode entirely, but the fact is that she's a good person who is ashamed of this facet of her past, right?
But again, kind of what you said before is once we open it, it's like no one is going to interpret.
No one would have thought anything about that plane.
Anything about her past or like her doing anything wrong based off of the like what was inside.
Yeah. Everything she went through was not worth it at all.
Like the only thing, because when I was like trying to think, oh, what is in the briefcase? Are we going to find out this episode? Or, you know, is this going to be an ongoing thing? I was like, oh, is there like a letter of some sorts that's kind of like outing her, like maybe because I knew
I couldn't imagine what it would be, you know, like her like record literally printed out in a folder or something.
Or like her mugshot or like something like, I have no idea. Like
anal beads. She's just like, guys, they're not mine.
They're not mine.
They're not mine.
They're engraved with Kate.
Yeah.
How did that get on there?
And one book that says, this is my bag, baby, written by Kate.
And a very, very, it was like just a little obnoxious to have this be a continuing like back and forth between the two of them this episode.
We cut back to the past. The robber wants the money cage key. This other guy wants to be a hero. It makes no sense that he would talk to
Kate. Dude.
Why would he talk to Kate though? Is he like trying to like hit on her? You know what I mean? He's like, I gotta take him down. Like, just do it, bro. Don't tell the pretty lady that you have to do it.
Get your iPhone out. Take a picture of it when I do it.
I thought he was doing it because she was in like close proximity to him
to help. Maybe.
Yeah.
I took it differently. Like,
I'm gonna attack the guy, kick his gun over to you, and you're gonna pick up the gun and then shoot him.
I don't know if you're single or if you're attracted to heroes, but watch this.
I got him. I don't know how to use a gun.
Yeah, she pretends not to know how to use the gun. She's in on it. And she's got a hot robber boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is Kate and Clyde, baby. By the way,
I think his
name. Steve knew, but we all knew she was in on the robbery, right? She was like a distraction.
The moment she was in a bank applying for a loan, it was like, what fresh con is this?
The moment she said she's a photographer, I said, no fucking way.
Yeah.
The same way that you make drapes.
Yeah. Right. Interesting.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's the holiday season, the season of gift giving. If you're like me, you've waited until late December to think about it, and now everything that you try to order on a website is not going to arrive until after Christmas. That's the opposite of the holiday spirit. That's stressful. We've got a gift that you can give yourself. You can get a subscription to BetterHelp and give yourself the gift of therapy. If you've never tried therapy before, it's a great way to get into it. You can fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a therapist. And if you don't like them or you're not meshed, it's easy to switch. You can just get another one. And it's all online, so you don't have to stress about the traffic and the driving and the location and all the logistical things that always help you talk yourself out of giving therapy a try. So I think you should do it. This holiday season, lower the stress a little bit. Give yourself the gift of mental wellness. So in the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ho, 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 happy holidays and happy streaming, everybody. This month, we want to give a special shout out to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things, but we especially want to give a special shout out to the super patrons. They are Kaylee Sampson, Stan Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brent Stradamus, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Joey Stewart, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Linda Eklund, Emmy, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ryan Moore, Ashley Power, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. And with that, let's get back to it.
Back in the present, it's Saeed and Shannon. We find out her backstory of why she speaks French, you know, a little bit more. She lived in France for a while with a guy. And I put, they getting sweet? Because I was noticing something between Saeed and Shannon there. Mm-hmm. It probably picked up on it as soon as he limped up to her naked body on
pretty
the beach.
Lady.
By the way, I'm just putting myself in Saeed's shoes. I'm hobbling along the beach.
Okay.
I'm hobbling.
Yeah.
I want to ask Shannon's help. I don't know. Do you? Like, if I see Shannon take her top off, I might turn around. I might give it 30 minutes before I ask I might, because it might just, maybe I'm overthinking it, but it seems like a bad moment. Hey, you want to chat now that your girls are out?
The clock is running, man. The clock is running. He's got to fix this riddle to get Jack off his
maybe
ass.
Maybe I'm overthinking it, and he's being the adult. Like, it's just some boobs.
Everyone sees titties.
We got to translate.
They're just bring boobs.
Your boobs. I don't care.
Bring the boobs. Maybe they can help.
Honestly, I don't know why this isn't a nude beach already.
That's what I'm saying. Why are we all being shy here?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Pull them out. Let them out.
Let them out. Guys, there's no cameras.
That's why we don't see the rest of the survivors, because that's what they're doing, and they just can't shoot that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's true. They're just fuselaging.
Fucking Lance is down there hanging dong.
Yeah. That's why Ethan joined the crew.
Except that one guy that's like super afraid he's going to get a disease.
Oh, the rash guy?
Oh, yeah. He's like putting everyone else's clothes on.
Yeah. And then Jack goes up to Sun in the caves, and all we see of one of my favorite characters for like the fourth episode in a row, she's like an herbal medicine woman now. She's got herbs for headaches, I think. And she also speaks English and is still somewhat acting like she can't.
Okay.
She was the only come out to Michael that she can speak English.
True.
He asked her a question in English. She responded to the question.
Right. But not in English.
Not in English.
But with miming.
She understands English.
She does.
I don't know. I just am like, to me, they didn't play off her. Like, because he didn't really like use his body to like give any implication to what he was saying.
Yeah, what he was trying to ask.
So it's just like, she easily just interpreted what he was saying.
He didn't like pick up the flower and
go, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Like, so that kind of annoyed me. Just like, I feel like it's just the
they're
lack
really milking
of.
Milking that.
Or just like the lack of like, understanding of that wouldn't be realistic because Jack's interpretation of Sun is she knows no English at all. And she just immediately answered his question. I don't know. I was like, she doesn't know English. Why did she respond?
Yeah, this is just, again, I think the writer's trying to like Sun's here. Get it?
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Yeah.
And then Kate walks up to Jack and says that we have a problem. And he's sassy with her. He's kind of over her shit. You
notice
that? Is this
a we problem or a you problem?
Sounds like something probably only you care about.
Skank.
Yeah. Heard you tongue kissed him for some, what was that even for?
Medicine?
The inhaler? Yeah.
Inhaler, yeah.
I heard you tongue kissed a robber in the previous scene too.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I heard your name's Maggie, bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch.
What's about that?
Maggie Ryan?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Good name. I like that name.
What are you doing out giving hand jobs for needle and thread? What's going on?
And
what are you
just,
up to now, Jezebel?
I just love how Sun, like, because the two of them don't think she can understand what they're saying. She's clearly eavesdropping.
She's just listening.
Yeah, the whole time Sun just giving the biggest side eye. Like,
she gets all the tea.
I'm going to tell Jen
honestly,
about this.
She's just thinking, that's a Halliburton. There's no way you have anything to worry
that
about.
That was the look she gave, like, wait, he's trying to break into a Halliburton?
I need to be there for that.
I wish they had brought that back a third time. Just somebody completely unrelated. Like just, Rose, like a Halliburton?
Everybody, yeah. It's like the fuselage. Everybody knows.
Yeah, just everybody knows.
Everybody knows about these Halliburtons.
I wonder how much Halliburton paid to have this plug in this show. Because you know how many people probably bought Halliburtons after this? Like, damn, those are sturdy.
Probably damn. A lot. Yep. Drop it from a tree.
But she tells Jack, you're the only one who knows about me, right? And the case has guns. It was the Marshall's case. It's got like 4 9mm. She knows where the key is. The Marshall had it in his wallet, so they have to go dig up the body. And they also yada 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 the fact that they buried the Marshall but burned all the other bodies. Yeah. That's fine.
Like it's such a bad excuse, because she brings attention to it. Like, why did you bury him and not burn him with the other bodies? And Jack just goes, I had to bury him.
So I was guilty. He died under my care.
Okay. Just do you like, do that for all your patients, Jack?
Sure. Yeah.
I could have saved him, but my drunk dad's ghost showed up and ruined the surgery.
Not again, Dad.
And so he doesn't believe her. He thinks there's something else in the case that she's not telling him, and they have to open it together. Again, I don't know if they really laid the groundwork for Jack's mistrust of Kate at this point, but I'm fine with yada yadaing it. Charlie.
I think Jack is on his man period.
For sure.
Yeah. Because he was
he's menstruating.
He was very, very touchy last episode. And he's like even more touchy this episode. Not touchy, but like.
Yeah.
Like me.
I'm
like
really
whiny.
Tired of Jack's insecurity. Like, you're jealous of Sawyer. That's clear. You have no ownership of Kate, sir.
Yeah.
You barely know each other. Mm-hmm. She wanted to fuck. You wanted to talk about dams.
Yeah.
And even then, you would have no right to say what she can do or not do.
Yeah.
Bro. If anything, I think, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Jack and Sawyer fuck, then they would be less angry.
I completely agree.
I agree.
Thank you. And we're all on the same page. So then Charlie's with his new happy friend because she's all happy and he's like, we're all going to die. There's monsters. And she's like, oh my God, quit your bitching, dude. It could be way worse. And Charlie, nobody blames you. And then he breaks down because that's really what he's upset about, right?
Like, that was a sweet moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you're not a tough guy. None of us thought you could save her. You're just a has-been musician junkie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Lower your expectations of yourself, sir.
We right. didn't think that start highly of you before.
Just start a podcast, buddy.
Don't worry.
Oh my God. If they started a podcast together,
Rose
they'd
and Charlie?
They'd be Charlie Rose.
Oh my no. God.
Oh, wow.
Back in the past, Kate, aka Maggie, makes him hit her to keep selling the fact that she's one of the hostages and not part of it. Mm. He does call her Maggie in this instance.
Masochist.
And then the manager gives up the key to save Kate. Back in the present, they find Stinky Dead Man buried, ew, like a foot in the ground, by the way.
That's so not many dead bodies this episode. Grave.
That's not how you do that. And she sleight of handed the key out of the maggot wallet and he caught her. Now she's busted. He's so hurt by this. Like, Kate, oh my God, I was going to give you my virginity, Kate.
He would.
That's the vibe, Jack. That's the vibe, Jack.
That
given.
Is so accurate.
And now a friendship bracelet to.
Yeah, he just throws it on the ground.
I was going to give you this purity ring.
I was going to take off my purity ring with you.
Ring, that's what it was.
Never mind.
He's definitely a Jonas Brothers fan.
Oh, 100%.
He runs away with that, like,
she's so cold blooded. And we cut back to Shannon. She's trying to translate the French. Sea of silver, sparkles that change, next to the pond, blue infinity. And for some reason, Sight's such a dick. This was a mistake. You suck at French. And she's like, I told you I sucked at French.
You didn't know what it was a half hour ago, but now you said it sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Well, also, he said that there's math. And Shannon said, I didn't know there was math involved. And I was like, honestly,
that's fair.
I would be, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'd be mad.
You didn't say anything about math.
No.
Nope. Your boobs distracted me.
then, your boobs were an invite. Shannon's like, no.
Take them out. Maybe it will help.
Pretty lady.
Jack goes up to, he's glimpse after. Jack goes up to Sawyer for the case. And they have this whole annoying exchange that we've seen 1,000 times before. But this time Jack threatens to fucking kill him.
Only Jack can threaten to kill somebody by just
removing their cephalexin.
By making it known that he knows the words for fancy drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Cephalaxin. And I love the frustration in Sawyer's face. Like, fuck, I guess I got to fucking ask what that is.
Is that another suitcase? Because I'm over it, bud. It's a Halliburton. It's a cephalaxin. I can't open it.
It's a Swiss.
It.
No. It'll make your arm so infected you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You have to amputate it.
You've been begging for me to take that arm.
But there's a good moment betwixt them, kind of a bro moment where they're both being lied to by the evil woman, which is what
the
they,
harlot,
which is what they do.
That Jezebel.
They do a little chest bump.
Whatever she told you about this case, she lied, brother.
Bitches, am I right?
Look, I'm not gay, but here's what I think we should do.
I'll take my shirt off, not my pants, though.
That's right.
You take everything off. I don't like taking my pants off.
That's right. Unless it's dark.
You I got tell a small because dick. You can see my tan line on my baton.
I did see his ass crack at one point when he was swimming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a tan line on his cheeks.
Yep.
And I didn't say I wanted to see more out loud.
I clocked it.
Did you clock it?
I did.
Thank you, buddy.
That's clocked why we're
friends.
Crack.
That's why we're friends. He tells Kate, Jack does, that they're going to open it together because he's a man of morals and honor. And that's what I said we were going to do. Come on. And he talked like Sawyer now. Back in the past, they get in the money cage. Wherein there is money.
Money cage.
Money cage.
The manager says, let the girl go, meaning Kate. And then the dude, for some reason, like snitches on Maggie for no reason.
Makes no sense.
He's like, by the way, she's in on it. Here's my face. Now I have to kill you because I love killing secretly. I act like I'm a robber, but I just love murder. And then, so she, having morals and a code, shoots Jason, which is the robber's name, and fucking everybody else. Because apparently she's, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Jesus Christ.
It's Janet Bourne. And then, She doesn't even want the robbery money. She wants safety deposit box 815.
Not only did she con the bank manager to get into the bank vault,
double
con. She conned the robbers to stage the entire robbery.
I told you not to trust her.
Oh, but my penis was thinking for me.
Which means she's able to lie. to put this whole plot on to convince this robber that she's so.
But she didn't care about Jason. She truly cares about Sawyer and Jack.
I guess.
That's the difference, Madison.
I guess.
And Jason's like, ah, I gave you my virginity. She opens the safety deposit box. Inside is an envelope. We never get to see the contents. It might have been the airplane. I doubt it, but who knows? I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Back in the present.
It'd be a weird thing to put in a lockbox.
It would. They're about to open the case. Inside is a stack of money, which is weird for the marshal to have. I was going to say that. It's a gun. Is it waterproof? We don't know. And then an envelope that says personal effects. And he's a nice guy. He's like, is this what you wanted? Here you go. And inside, unsatisfyingly, is a tiny airplane with no explanation. It belonged to the man I loved. Stop lying to me, Kate. Nobody loves men who love airplanes. And it belonged to the man I loved. I don't believe it. And then it's not even the model kind that you can build. What the fuck does it mean? And it belonged to the man I killed. And she breaks down. And I'm just going to say it. I know she's a murderer. We don't know the context. This might be a hot take. Jack just leaving her there in shambles when she's finally ready to get honest. The fucking asshole. What a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I would have stayed and asked
Jack
questions.
Jack is his own worst enemy. That's
comforted her.
Yeah, hugged her at least.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Good people do terrible things. I know this to be true about the world.
Good
also,
people murder.
That's right. I think sometimes.
Could it have been like she murdered somebody, or did she do something that got this person killed? Was it an accident?
We have zero context.
That's kind of what my mind went to, because I can't picture the writers making Kate purposely murdering somebody.
Obviously, to me, it's going to be
some
kind of
jigsawed somebody.
I personally think just me like trying to predict. I think it was a child. Hence the small airplane. Like, and that was a toy plane that. So it was like a memento of the person that she killed.
I hope it was a pilot.
Out of maybe not intentionally murdered, but like by proxy was responsible for this person's death.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's related to the bank robbery scene particularly, but maybe there was something throughout her course that she ended up killing somebody she didn't mean to kill.
I agree. And I think he's a dick for just leaving her there.
Yeah,
he
does
it twice.
Fucked up.
Yeah. She finally opens up to him and he responds by just being, oh God.
I
almost gave my virginity to a murderer.
I can't believe that.
So many virgins on this island.
This is the way he's acting.
Virgin Island.
He does not carry himself in a way of one who has gotten any ass.
Dead island.
But I feel like Kate would be like, well, I'm going to go talk to Sawyer then.
Yeah. Oh.
Bye.
Yeah, but he doesn't care if I murder people. Yeah.
He probably is, very supportive of it. Like, I think we should kill more people.
He's about to murder this ass. And she walks off. And then all the beaches are moving inward.
Beaches.
I did write a note. It's the wide shot of all the beaches walking across. And you see Vinny the dog running. I did write like, oh, Vinny tripped.
Vinny fall down.
Vinny fall down.
You did a little dog trip. I'm like, oh, that poor puppy.
I will say, so I noticed more like shots in this movie of like the sunset and stuff like that, which I enjoyed. I liked how they're kind of like bringing attention to like the beauty of the island.
Yeah. Even though it's fucking Hawaii.
Yeah. So I decided to throw that out there because there's a little shot of the sunset.
Yeah. And there's they're in this like kind of grove, which they're still refusing to go to the cave, but now they got their own little grove place. And then we pan over a few different characters. Charlie's sitting by the fire with his new girl. Claire's out.
moving on with Rose.
That's right. Yeah. And
she's married. She's a little bit
she's a
older.
Married woman.
They're poly. It's fine. She thinks her husband's still alive, right? And he's like, what? And she's like, there's a fine line. I love this line. There's a fine line between denial and faith.
It's better on my side.
It's better on my side, baby. And he says, he breaks down, help me, right? And then she says, I'm not the one that can help you. And I put, like, Jesus? And then they start praying. And I said, yep.
I initially thought, oh, she's going to get up and walk away. Just leave him.
I'm not the one.
She's like, wait.
I'm not the one. If you're going to cry and make it so weird, funny. I'm out.
Oh, I thought you would go to Hurley for help. He seems to be your best little friend or something. I'm not that relationship with you, but my guy.
She's like, help. He's like, help me. And she's like, you can't open a Halliburton, son. He's like, what? Oh, sorry.
I'm not involved with that plot line. I know you can't open a Halliburton.
Who thinks they can open a Halliburton?
We all, everybody knows that. We cut to Shannon, who is a sad girl. She goes up to Saeed and she's like, want a French some more? And winks, which is a clever pun. But she tells him she had her French boyfriend had a shitty kid.
His name was Laurent.
The notations are song lyrics, which is one of the vampires from Twilight, I think, Laurent. And I didn't catch the song. Like, I recognized the medley.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
That's what I thought.
Somewhere waiting for me. That one.
Silver sparkles.
My lover stands on golden sands. That, yeah.
Like, is it the kind of song that Michael Bublé would have covered?
Oh, yeah, kind of. I forget who the original singer.
Right?
Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin. Original. Bobby D?
Yeah, old Bobby D. Let's look at these song lyrics to see if we can find...
La Mer.
Let's see if we can find some of the, like, Blue Infinity or something, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Some something. Or is she just terrible at French and she was correct about that and none of those words are in there?
Yeah, I don't see those words in there. So I don't. Maybe it's just the French version.
So she's saying that the French woman was just writing lyrics to this song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe the French version has those in it. But it's also funny. So she's quoting the child's watching Finding Nemo and this is the song at the end of Finding Nemo.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
She couldn't say, well, I guess she couldn't say Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
She said something about a robot though.
Did she?
There was a fish, but maybe, I don't know. The computer. No, she said computer.
Oh, yeah, because it's a computer animated film. Is what she was implying. Jesus. Yeah, because she.
What is she, like a Martian?
Yeah, yeah. She's, yeah.
She's a robot.
She couldn't
human?
Just say cartoon.
She's an AI character.
It's like a computer fish, you know? What? I was thinking like RoboCop fish. Like, what is this movie? I need to watch it now. I'll buy that for a dollar.
So I guess. La Mer is the actual song she sings.
Yes, by Charles Trenet.
That's the ocean, Trenet. Right? La Mer.
Trenet?
Yeah. Trenet? Oh my gosh, there's so many pop-ups.
La Mer qui en vient.
Okay, so the sea, the one that sees dancing place? Along the clear gulf, has silver reflections, the sea changing the reflections under the rain. The sea and the summer of skies merge its white sheep with such pure angels. The sea, shepherdess of azure, infinite, blue infinite. Yeah.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Okay. She was doing it right.
Hmm.
So that's what we find out there.
And I guess that song originally started as a French song, but it morphed into Somewhere Beyond the Sea, which is the song I quoted.
And then the funniest part of this episode is the next shot where it pans from her having a normal human conversation with Saeed to a furious serial killer looking Boone in the shadows. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Nobody fucks my sister, but man. Like, what is that?
That was really bizarre.
Why would he not just be so delighted she's not being useless on the beat? Like, I don't understand the point of this at all.
I really hope there's some like secret, like.
That's not my sister. That's my wife. Okay, it's both.
Something like
that. Something.
Sister wife.
I'm from Oklahoma. I apologize to our Oklahoma listeners. I've never been there. I've just made that up.
You could have just said, I'm from Kentucky. Yeah.
It would have worked. Says the podcaster from Kentucky.
It would have worked just as well if say from Kentucky.
It would have worked better.
It would have.
Let's be honest. So then.
But he's just like.
It's so angry.
Like, so like sinister.
What is that? Then Jack sees the hot murderer by the bonfire and just keeps walking because he's a baby. And that's it.
Yeah, Caitlin.
She's playing with the toy plane again.
Fiddling with the plane.
I think it said 5025 on the wing. I don't know.
Lost.
That's the end of the episode. Lost. Which brings us to Beach Please.
Beach Please, my dudes, my lady. If you guys do not remember, Beach Please is the part of the show where I give you little trivia factoids about the episode that we just watched.
That's right.
And if you need a refresher, we just watch, whatever the case may be. And I've got a couple little fun little tidbits for you. Not as much as last week, but a couple fun ones nonetheless. This episode is the highest rated episode of Lost Season 1, like Nielsen ratings. Meaning
as in like the amount of people that watched it.
Yeah. So with a total of 21.59 million viewers.
I get it.
So yeah.
But how many of those dropped off after the waterfall
scene? When the pans came back on?
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, oh, I got what I need.
Never mind. Never mind. Beep.
A fun little behind the scenes bit of trivia. The reason why there's a story of them having to move the camp off the beach is because of the real life seasonal tides on the north shore of Oahu, which would have eventually flooded the shooting site for realsies. Mm. So they wrote in the story a reason to get off the beach so they could avoid that.
That's what's cool about like episodic television, you know? You gotta develop with the real world and you know, writing as you go. It's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just the island saying, get the fuck off the beach.
And they wrote like a supernatural thing and like, oh, it's so weird.
Wow. So there's all these tides. Oh. Who knew? even though the show is filmed in Hawaii, all of the underwater scenes with Sawyer and Kate were actually filmed in a tank in LA.
That makes sense.
Which is kind of fun to think about, like, because it looks so seamless, right? But they're like completely opposite parts of the world doing that. Tim Halligan, who plays the bank manager, he is the bank manager named Hutton in the episode.
Yeah,
he is better known as Qualls in Space Cowboys and the principal in Freedom Riders. Remember that movie, Freedom Riders?
Classic.
Alternatively, Jason, the head robber, isn't credited as Jason in the episode. He is credited as Shooter. Mm-hmm. The other bank robbers are credited as Baseball Hat and 6'5".
Ooh, big boy.
Yeah. That's so funny. How would you like to have that on your IMDb? Like, oh yeah, I played 6'5" in episode 12.
Basically Travis Kelce.
Yeah, basically. Basically Travis Kelce.
Basically.
I mean, when you think about it, I'm dating Taylor Swift.
Yeah. 6 degrees.
And then the last bit of thing I already mentioned is that Oceanic Flight 815 is the same number as Kate's lockbox.
Yeah.
815.
Sorry for ruining that one.
That's okay.
I knew it had to be something somewhere.
There you go. You were right.
815.
You were right.
Did we talk about this already? But the area code for 815 is Chicago. I don't know if that is any way connected. But
Chi-town. It's always connected.
Always.
They're deep dish fans.
It's Chi-town, baby.
That out there. So
it's not actually 815 pizza.
Area code is Chicago.
Hmm. There you go.
Deep dish is not pizza, Steve.
Making weird connections.
What? It isn't?
I don't think so.
Is it pie?
More of a casserole.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Deep dish pizza?
Mm-hmm.
You say it's just...
I'm just pissing off all the Chicago residents.
You think casserole?
It's a casserole, you think?
Casserole?
I'm just a New York pizza guy, that's all. Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, I only have three moments here, and I'm definitely not using these ones, so vamp for me. What's your number three?
My number three is when... they're all just goofy, but... when Kate tries to steal the suitcase from Sawyer in the middle of the night between his legs.
Yeah.
And then they just like wrestle and she like headbutts him. It was just funny. And yeah, that's my number three. I just think it was fun.
Steve, your number three.
My number three is Rose walking up to Charlie and just being like, hey, motherfucker, you want to help out over here? Please. I'm carrying a big punk of metal. And I need your help. Just because I'm a big sucker for Charlie and also Rose. So
that's right.
There you go.
That's that was my number three, but I have another Charlie Rose moment and I didn't want to use two. So I'm going to use Kate's sleight of hand as my number three.
Mm.
I do hate Jack's reaction, but I think it's for a good reason. Like it's a good character reason. I already didn't like the guy very much. So now it's like, oh man, you're digging yourself deep here. I think you should be more loving and give her some more grace, you know?
Absolutely, should.
Especially at that moment. But I did like that, like, that shocked me, like, the level of betrayal. Mm-hmm. And we also found out she has a new skill, right? Like, she's Jason Bourne with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Deadeye with a rock.
She can climb trees.
Oh, my God. She is so talented, and she can track. I mean, she's basically the best war. Like, she could probably kill John, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
She'd give Locke a run for his money.
She's been walking on both legs her whole life. He's only been walking on his legs for 21 days.
She's more experienced. That's right. And now she's also great with sleight of hand. So she's contains multitudes, that Kate. So that's my number three. Madison, your number two.
My number two is Shannon and Saeed trying to interpret French and just kind of like bouncing off of each other.
When they were Frenching?
Yeah. And I was quite surprised in myself to enjoy the sexual tension between the two of them. I don't know why. can always get approval from you for any sexual tension.
Yeah, sexual tension.
Sexual tension.
I don't like this reputation I have. I love love.
It's okay, embrace it.
Hey, you love love. I'm lean into it.
I'm the same way. So.
Thank you. You made me feel better.
But I don't know. We had never seen these characters interact before, and it was fun seeing them get to kind of know each other in that way, and also finally seeing Shannon do something was
yeah.
nice. Or at least attempt to try and do
give
something.
The character something to do other than lay on the beach being objectified. Mm-hmm. You know?
Pretty lady.
I just the grunt.
Sanctuary. Quasimodo reference.
Oh yeah.
Steve. More French stuff. Steve, you're number two.
My number two is Rose telling Charlie, like, hey, it could be worse. And he's like, fucking how? And she goes, hey man, no one blames you for what happened to Claire. I thought that was very, very sweet of her. And she just tells him, hey, you just have to ask for help. Like, I don't know what it is about Rose, but when people just need a real calm, like, what do? You come to Rose. She'll disappear for 5 episodes, but when you need her, poof, she's there.
Bing, bang.
Boom.
Yeah, that's my number two as well. And
nice.
Thank you to Steve for being so bold as to actually use my original 3 and 2, the 2 Charlie and Rose moments.
You're welcome. I am brave.
Those are great moments. But yeah, for all the reasons that you said, it was out of nowhere. It was great for the character of Charlie. And it was cool. It seemed organic the way that she kind of hit right to the, you're not actually upset about any of the things you're acting like you're upset about. You know, nobody blames you. You know, it was good for his healing. So that was nice. Madison, nice. You're number two.
I thought it was my number one.
Sorry. You guys are so confused. Like, I got to think of another number two.
My favorite moment is when Kate hustles the bank robbers and she goes all Jason Bourne and goes pow, 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 pow.
Brat, brat.
Yeah. Clack, clack. And just totally like.
That was good.
Just completely goes badass. And I enjoy a good action sequence, and I was a little confused. Oh, all that just for an envelope in a box, but all right, whatever.
She's on an emotional quest.
To be shooting it up wearing a skirt and some boots, I'm into it. Wow.
Oh my God. It's Jason Bourne.
So
I love all these gun noises we're doing.
I spent my entire childhood alone playing with toys and reading. So whenever I played with action figures with a normal kid, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You have to control each limb independently with different fingers. Like the kids that would just go beep, beep, beep. Like,
oh, those kids
I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
Those kids
What's his
touched.
Backstory, Frank? What you know? Yeah.
No, I'm with you 100%.
What's
I used
his
to
childhood
make,
trauma?
Exactly. Come on now.
I used to make all the noises as well, like the gun noises. And my stepfather at the time would make fun of me because he'd be like, because he thought it sounded like I was spitting. He'd be like, you're going to get all your action figures wet if you keep spitting like that. I'm like, I'm not doing that, other Steve. Okay? That's not what I'm doing, dummy.
Just let me live.
Just let me live. Mom doesn't even love you.
Yeah. That's right.
Mic drop.
She told me. Steve, what's your number one?
My number one moment is when Charlie breaks down and asks Rose for help, and she's like, I can't give you help. And then the whole prayer.
Another Charlie Rose.
Wow. I have 3 Charlie Rose moments on here. All right.
That's good.
I love Charlie. Dominic Monaghan's great. And just when he like breaks down, he's like, help me. Like, oh, my heart broke. Like, there's something about that character that you just immediately just like, here, just like wrap your arms around him and tell him it's going to be okay. That we all, everybody.
And she tries to guide him to faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that part lost me a little bit as like a agnostic person, but the intent is nice.
I actually it should be my number one. I loved it. I knew it was going to I know your guys' proclivities as far as like when it comes I think I do when it comes to spirituality. I guess I'm looking at Madison like maybe I'm assuming too much.
I'm a huge Catholic.
I'm a woman of faith. But I'm not a believer of Jesus so much, but as somebody in recovery, and the whole basis of the 12 steps involves a power greater than yourself, higher power, and the fact that Charlie is also an addict, and as somebody with profound anxiety issues on top, it is helpful to just believe
there's something more than yourself.
The universe is not in your to understand the universe is not in your control, and it's best to just give up control of that. Like, it's such a weight lifted off, you know, and I only get like sublime moments of that, like maybe 1 or 2 seconds in each week where I feel like floating on a breeze and the destination is already set and comfortable. But it's nice. And so I think he really needs that kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. I appreciated that, even though I knew it was going to be awkward for a lot of my people when she started praying, you know, I actually think it is very sweet.
Yeah.
You know,
now this is the type of religiosity.
Yeah.
That is, it's like it's coming from really good intentions. And it's like, I really want to help you. This helps me out. I'm going to share this thing that I have in my life that helps me with you. Hopefully it'll guide you somewhere or lead you somewhere nicer than where you are currently. That kind of stuff is like, that's sweet.
Yeah.
And then when it cut, she was like, by the way, if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, none of that means anything if you don't believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I hope you don't masturbate. And I
hope you're still a virgin.
I pray you did not. Yeah.
I hope you never did drugs. Wait, what?
And she leaves him there.
I wasted my whole day on a junkie.
My whole day
ruined.
Way to go, Rose.
My number one, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's probably the vault, right? Okay, I really love the action scene.
Want to give it to the waterfall?
I'm giving it to the waterfall. You know,
you're allowed. Allowed to do that.
As soon as you said, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm like, he's giving it to the waterfall. Just own it, my dude.
It was just a good moment, character moment.
It was, yeah. We found out Sawyer doesn't take his pants off.
That's right, which is weird. Nobody swims in jeans.
He's never nude.
It doesn't bother Kate to put jeans on her wet legs.
That was rough. It should bother her. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
She's the real monster on the island.
She is.
For that reason alone.
That's me on that island, like from afar, being like,
girl,
bitch, what are you doing? Dry off at least. Stop. All you gotta do is sit for 5 minutes.
Just a little bit in the sunlight.
Oh, goodness.
Never gonna happen.
A good scene nonetheless, though.
It was fun times.
Very crazy that there are just dead bodies at the bottom of that.
Yeah, waterfall. And like, you don't go cliff jumping without exploring the depths of the, you know, that's,
I know,
that was wild.
Especially when he dove
in
head first.
Never do that.
Yeah. No.
I wanted to see him just get paralyzed and then, and then just be a lesson on
Kate's
swimming.
Like, did you not see the 3-foot sign on the side? Mm-mm. Like, come on,
my
man.
Jeans blinded me.
Oh, man.
No, it was that low rise underwear.
Mm. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
That she wore for 4 days. I don't blame her. Those are nice.
Yeah, those are nice. She looks great in them.
She washes them by swimming every day.
Yeah.
So then we get our passenger princess segment, guys. Who are we going to nominate for the favorite performance of the episode? Steve, I think you and I are on the same page. Madison's a wild card.
So
I don't know.
I don't know. I think we do.
We all, everybody?
I don't know. Who are you going with?
So I am going to nominate Dominic Monaghan.
Okay. We're not We All Everybody.
Oh,
then,
okay.
But we're close. Steve?
I'm sorry.
No.
I got so excited to see.
Go ahead. No, we'll see if we're all matching.
Oh, well, I was just being a cynical little bitch when I finished this episode. So I wrote the ocean for trying to wash this episode away.
Dang, you're nice. He's like, I don't know.
That's good.
But really, I would give it to... Honestly, I would nominate Evangeline Lilly again, just because I don't really like what they're having her do, but she's still crushing. She's doing the best with what she's being given, I think.
She's doing great.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
She's
amazing.
She's
great at all.
We'll say nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to L. Scott Caldwell, who played Rose.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'll ever have an opportunity to do that again.
That's a good one.
And I think like the real like... dead serious emotional weight of this episode really rests, you could say, on Dominic Monaghan, but ultimately on her as well. And I thought it was nice. But yeah, do you want to talk about Dominic Monaghan and how you felt about that? Because we don't want to hear Steve talk about the ocean.
Right.
No. Rightfully so.
I initially had Evangeline Lilly in the running. And I think for me, it just, I don't know, for some reason, I just was like, the action sequence was really cool. But I think ultimately, I really liked how Dominic had to kind of stay in the same, like, for lack of a better word, shitty mood from the previous episode, and having to have this like consult play back and forth with Rose. I don't know. I just thought it was very heartfelt. It was the heart of the episode, and so I feel like that's why he deserved my passenger princess.
That's right. Pee-pee. I never would argue with giving it to Evangeline Lilly. I love that the people, the actual the people, are on my side.
The people.
Because I came in boldly, bravely, and said, you know what, guys? No, it's not because I'm a perv. I like this episode. I think it's great. And Steve was like, you know what? Most popular episode ever, actually. Boom! Vindication. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're talking about
but the... But only the, for the first 10 minutes.
Only because of the episodes that happened prior to it. Because people are like, oh, I want to know what's happening with that hatch. Oh, it's just Kate.
It's just Kate and her little hatch.
Yeah.
The little suitcase.
Yeah. It shocked me.
Whatever the case may be.
Whatever the case
may be. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think it was like a... they tuned in because the last one, I picked up the mystery so hard that they accidentally tuned into this one.
That's what I think, yeah.
But what about the IMDb ratings? What's the highest rated episode of season one, IMDb-wise?
I don't have that pulled up. I can try to do it.
On the spot.
On the spot.
Let's on the see spot. Beach, please.
Papa Steve can do it. Probably not.
Papa Steve.
You are like Papa.
Or like Papa Steve.
You are like Papa. How do you even see... Like,
Walkabout, episode 4, is considered... Well, no, it's just a list for on Collider as the best episode of Lost for me from season 1.
Which one even was that?
That's Locke's backstory. We find out he had...
That was a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's saying Walkabout is the best episode, but I don't know what the highest rate it is.
Lost season 1 from best to worst.
Where does this
number episode? Number 1 is... 18 numbers. Oh. Ooh, that is a good one. Numbers is good.
Mm. Episode 18?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the top, I'll just read you the top five. Number one is Numbers, episode 18. Number two is episode 24, Exodus Part 2.
Oh, we got some bangers coming.
Oh, shit.
Number three is The Pilot, Part 1. Number four is Deus Ex Machina, which is episode 19. And number five is Walkabout. Episode 4.
Hmm. So three of the five we haven't seen yet. We got some bangers coming.
Let's look at the number 24, the worst reviewed Lost episode of season 1, whatever the case may be.
Wow.
Episode
12.
So I'm reverse vindicated.
You're just on an emotional roller coaster.
Look, this.
Oh, but this is surprising.
This episode's got cheeks. It's got guns pew-pewing.
It's got bare backs.
I don't agree with this.
Near bare breasts.
I don't think this list is completely right because number 21, now this isn't the worst, but it's like the worst five is House of the Rising Sun.
Which was?
Sun and Jin's first episode.
Oh.
I love that episode.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe it's a case of like the show's damn good and the worst is still better than most shows kind of thing.
That's true. Like Game of Thrones. It's like the worst Game of Thrones is like better than anything else.
Yeah.
Kids still trying to...
I meant to call it out. It doesn't make any sense because they haven't seen this for like 4 more days. But when whoever sent us one of the gifts wrote a letter saying, I know you guys are going to cover Game of Thrones eventually. And they said 1 through 7. I don't know if that was an intentional joke about hating season 8.
Oh,
no, we already did season 8.
Oh, that's what
you
it
don't
is.
Remember? I'm begging to listen to the show.
I blacked out.
I'm begging to listen to the show.
Check it out.
We reviewed season 8. Yeah.
Dang. Never mind.
I know it's been 4 years.
Many years.
Yeah.
That was Jay's Scramo?
Jay Scramo, yeah.
Scramo.
Yeah.
Scramo.
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 We say
okay.
Scramo.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the other
Jay
sister.
Scramo.
But that's all of the time we have. I think
we got to do our mysteries.
Oh, we got Lost and Found.
Lost and Found.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask you guys, there was like a mystery. We're not going to go through the whole list, but there was a mystery that I don't think was solved, but we can add to it.
Kate's.
The mystery, what are Kate's crimes?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now Murder. We can add that to who did Kate kill?
Sure.
Yeah. So
there's a lot more Kate questions asked than answered in this episode.
And then the other mystery that I thought we could add is what does the French translation mean? The one that Shannon and Saeed are working on together.
The Finding Nemo song.
I like that.
Is there any other things you think we could add? Like, is Bernard still alive? Like, where is Bernard?
I just think that's Rose's
that's her
optimism.
Way of coping. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
No, I think
Steve's
we're good.
Looking at us like, are you sure? Are you sure?
Bernard may or may not be the monster, but go on.
Maybe Bernard was in the seat that we saw at the bottom of the lake.
That'd have been awesome.
And we're going to get an episode where Rose goes diving into the lake for a fun time. She's like, Bernard!
Her and Charlie.
Charlie, take your pants off.
It's time.
For that, I can be the one that can help you. That's right.
But no, I think who did Kate murder is probably the... And where did the plane, or like, what's the significance of the plane? Oh, yeah,
yeah. What is the plane?
What is Kate's plane?
What is plane?
What is plane?
You think planes?
You think
planes?
What is Kate's plane?
Or like planes, you think?
I hope that part's on there.
But that, I think, includes Lost and Found.
That's right.
Yes, and it does.
That is all the time that we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kate.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve, also saluting.
Mm-hmm. And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.